The most fundamental teaching of all of the spiritual giants of all time, of all of the mystics and all the sages and saints, is that there is more to us than meets the eye. That beyond and behind the physical, there is a spiritual dimension. And that spiritual dimension is what and who we truly are. This physical expression, this human personality, is but a little bit of that spirit coming into manifestation. And the goal of life is to see that in ourselves, to find that place in ourselves where, as Emerson described it, we are inlets and may become outlets of all there is in God. And I think the person that most taught me that, especially in my childhood, may not have actually even been aware that she was teaching that. She certainly never thought of herself as a mystic or a saint, although sometimes I did. The person best and most taught me that in my childhood was my mom. And the way she taught me it was by just her innate ability to see it in me. The most valuable lesson my mom imparted, and she taught me many, like how to tie my shoes, how to do my times tables when I was having trouble in arithmetic in the second or third grade. But the most valuable lesson she taught me was to see something higher in myself, and the way she taught it to me was by having a kind of faith in me I'm still struggling to have in myself. And by being able to forgive me, in a way I still have to kind of work on forgiving myself, on overcoming the shame and guilt that haunt even a unity person after all these years. I think most people were blessed with an individual or maybe several in their lives that for some reason really saw something in them, something greater. People that believed in you. You didn't know why they believed in you. You couldn't see it. Maybe nobody else seemed to be able to, but for some reason this person had faith in you. And in their presence, a little of it rubbed off. You had more faith in yourself, and because of that, that something greater actually came into expression through you more than in anyone else's presence. That person helped you become not a better person, but your real person, the person you were born to be. These people are the ones that carried us through this life, that gave us a leg up when we need it in this life. These are the people that have been the wind beneath our wings in life's journey. And growing up, especially in my childhood, Mom was that person for me. That's who Mom was. Mom believed in me. My mom had absolute faith in me. And I never could quite figure out why. I mean, she believed in me, and the amazing thing about it was I gave her so little reason to in childhood. I was not the kid that brought home papers with gold stars on them. I was not the kid who won a lot of trophies. I was not the kid who got the prize for the spelling bee. No, I was the kid that got to sit down right away. Got to rest my feet after about the third word. I was not the kid that on the day when the report cards came out, would gleefully skip home, proud to show Mom my report card. No, on report card day, my pace and demeanor or more akin to a funeral procession. You could almost hear Bach playing in the background. It was like the condemned man walking to the gallows. That's that's what report card day seemed like. Oh, my grades weren't that terrible, but they weren't that good either. I never got really good grades till I got to college, and by then, I wasn't living in my mother's house anymore. I was married and had a mortgage all of my very own. But none of that seemed to matter. No matter how mediocre my grades, Mom just believed there was something greater in me. She just always seemed to believe that I was destined for something better, that one day I'd find myself, that one day I'd find my calling, and no matter how many times I failed, one day I'd find that place where I would succeed. And although she didn't see it in my childhood, she did live to see it in the part of this life we got to share. And in looking at me that way and believing in me that way, what Mom was really doing is teaching me what faith is really all about. Because faith untested isn't really faith at all, is it? Faith endures life's tests, and there's a reason. It's because genuine faith isn't based on your report cards or your gold stars or anything we can see with our physical eyes. No, faith is based on something that is evident in unseen ways. Like it says in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the confirmation, the title deed to the things we hope for. It is the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's what faith is. It is, as it's stated in the more familiar King James Version, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And because of that, you can have faith, like my mother had, that is not based on the seen. It's based on something else. That's why it can pass the test, because it's not based on anything I could see in myself. It's not based on anything any of my teachers seem to be able to see in me, but Mom could see it. And no matter how many times I put my mother's faith in me to the test, and there were more than a few times, it always passed the test. And when I put her faith in me to the test, most of the time I was also putting her forgiveness to the test. And I have to say, she passed that with flying colors as well. Now, it's not that my mother did not know how to hold a grudge. To the day she died, she remembered a girlfriend of my dad's from high school and called her that girl. I was never sure who that girl was, but I know every time Mom used that expression, Dad's face would turn red and he'd change the subject as quickly as possible. Not always successfully. But she could never seem to hold a grudge against me or my sister or even Dad, really, except for that girl. I don't think it was Marlo Thomas. I'm pretty sure it was somebody else. And the thing is, Mom didn't forgive me because she didn't have reason to be mad at me. As a child, I did plenty of things I wasn't supposed to do. And I didn't do plenty of things I was supposed to do, or I did them badly. You know how, as a child, putting everything under the bed seems like a good way to clean up your room. Mom never grasped the logic of that. Mom always believed when she opened the closet in my room, things shouldn't have to fall out. But even so, even though I'd make these mistakes, Mom would forgive me. And she was aware of my misdeeds. I mean, it wasn't that she was unaware. It wasn't that I ever could pull the wool over her eyes. The woman was positively clairvoyant on the subject. I could never put one over on her. And in addition to her own psychic powers for my misbehavior, she had a network of spies. I lived in a neighborhood where there are a lot of stay-at-home moms. It wasn't that we were all so well off, it was that almost nobody had two cars. So if Mom wanted to go anywhere, she had to walk to the corner market or get on the streetcar or the bus. And there weren't that many jobs for women. A whole lot of people just come back from World War II, a whole lot of guys, and they were kind of took up the jobs that the women had been doing. And so there were a lot of moms home. And they had like a network. As children, we always felt like we were being watched because we were. It started before we even left school. If we did anything in school, if we acted up in any way, the teacher would tell the principal, and the principal would make the call. My mom got a lot of calls from the principal, and never once was it to compliment her on what a good boy I had been that day. So he'd set it in motion, then all the way home, the moms would be watching. The mom network of spies would be keeping an eye on us. I can't tell you how many times as I walked in the back door, Mom was hanging up the phone and giving me the look. And you know, sometimes as a little kid, you don't even know what you did. But I knew Mom was going to let me know. I knew one of her spies had ratted me out, had told her about me. I mean, it was positively Orwellian. Only it wasn't Big Brother watching you, it was somebody's mother. And they were worse. So I never could put one over on Mom. But no matter what my misbehavior, she always would forgive it. She'd never hold it against me. Which is not to say they went unpunished. People of my age know that back then, spanking was the punishment du jour. And I got plenty of spankings, often three for the same misdeed. How many of you remember this? You got the first one in school. The teacher would send you to the principal's office and he had that paddle. Then you went home and Mom would take her turn. And then what would Mom say? Wait till your father gets home. Now, actually, my sister and I just prayed that that would be possible because of the three, my dad's heart was never in discipline. My sister used to say, oh, I want Daddy to spank me because he has soft hands. His heart was never in it. Or maybe it was just that by the time we got to the third round, a certain part of our anatomy was just numb. But while never abusive, we got plenty of reminders that what we did wasn't exactly the correct thing to be done. But somehow I always understood, with Mom especially, that though she wasn't a softie about discipline, she wasn't punishing me because she was disappointed in me or disliked me. She just was pointing out the error of my behavior. She wasn't happy about what I did, but she was happy about me. And she'd often give me a good spanking and then give me a cookie. I would have rather just had the cookie, but the principal didn't give me a cookie. You know, a lot of people don't understand what forgiveness really is, how it works. I think a lot of people, when I say mom spanked me but forgave me, I think a lot of people don't understand because they confuse forgiveness with a kind of amnesia. They say things, well, forgive and forget. That's not forgiveness, that's the psychological state of denial. Forgiveness is supposed to help people. According to Jesus Christ, it's supposed to heal people. Jesus said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or arise, take up your bed and walk. As though the two were the same thing. In ignoring a loved one's problem is never therapeutic. Ignoring a child's problem is never helpful. Problems are there to be overcome, to rise up above them, not to be ignored. Ignoring a loved one's drinking problem, for instance, pretending it's not there, even though it leads to all kinds of challenges, all kinds of misbehavior at work, on the job, at home, driving their cars, that's not helpful. That's dangerous. But if you want to help them, you forgive them. And what forgiveness is really about is having faith in them. Faith and forgiveness, in reality, are actually kind of the same thing. You know what forgiveness really is? Forgiveness is seeing someone's misdeed, misdirection, recognizing a loved one's problem, and believing in them anyway. Believing that, okay, maybe they didn't beat it this time. And maybe they won't next time either, or the time after that. But they've got it in them to overcome this. They have something in them, a power greater than their own that can get them through this. And one day it will. Faith removes mountains, it doesn't ignore them. It doesn't pretend they're not there. Nor does it act like, well, I like a mountain view. Faith gets us over, under, around, or through our mountains. It gets them out of the way, but you can't overcome a mountain until you face that mountain. And ignoring someone's problem isn't forgiving them. It's just not getting involved. Well, Mom was involved. Mom was involved in my misdeed. She was involved in the extreme. Mom recognized my shortcomings, but she recognized them as, well, the result of me having some kind of problem, like in the second or third grade, when she recognized I was having a problem with arithmetic. And she made those flashcards out of some 3x5 cards she'd bought at the corner store. And she drilled me on them every morning and every night till I knew them all. I know them still. I mean, I think a lot of us still know our times tables, don't we? We can just run them off. Mom never punished me for my bad grade. But she helped me get better ones. And she carried me through till I could get in that college and discover my calling and start getting those good grades that gave me that 4.0 average in college. Actually, it's amazing. I think if I took my college my college grades to any of my elementary or high school teachers, they would have just passed out. I think they would just, you know, it would have just, they couldn't have handled it. There was a, okay, whose are these really? and you know, they really couldn't push that too far because there weren't that many Randy Schmalicks. I don't know. I know Mom loved me. And loving somebody really means seeing something in them. Seeing something in them they don't see. Something that inspires a faith in their potential. Even if it's unrealized, even if it's buried deep. A faith that I think every mother has, or most, when they first see their newborn infant. And like Mary, look at that child and hold all of their experiences in their heart. A feeling that I think stays with a whole lot of moms. I know I was blessed. I had great parents. I've known people that didn't, but I got real lucky in the parent department. I know a lot of you did too. My mom and dad were just great people. They were fun to be around. They didn't always have an easy life. They weren't fun because life hadn't challenged them. In fact, my mom's father died when she was 12 and she had to quit school and go to work. Just her and her mom. In her young adulthood, she developed type 1 diabetes. It haunted her for all of her remaining years. Caused her all sorts of health challenges. But Mom just kept going. Didn't let anything stop her. Actually, in her, it was easy to see something greater. Because physically, she's kind of a mess. Health-wise, she had no advantages. She had no education. I don't know who taught her her times tables. We could be, we learned them together. But life may have been a challenge for her, but she rose to meet it. She helped my dad start a business of his own when he was kind of getting pushed out of where he worked for someone else. She was always there for us all. And our greatest regret is she couldn't be with us longer. I'm already older in this life than my mom ever got to be. But Mom, I think, is in my heart all the time. I miss her physical presence. But I carry her with me because she taught me that there was something in me that was worth believing in even if I made a mistake. There was something in me that was greater than any appearance or any achievement. She saw that something in me. There was a little bit of that something Mary saw in Jesus. It is my prayer that you were so blessed too. So, happy Mother's Day, Mom. You are my first best teacher. And I'll never forget you, and never feel like you're far away. Let's have a Mother's Day prayer now. And to center ourselves for a time of prayer, let's know that God truly is here. And God is the one presence and power at work in our lives. There's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, and so it is.